This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kaysen. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kaysen.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I'm Alan Gervy. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. Sounded like my bar mitzvah. My voice just changed. And here today, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And I'm here with Kerry Kaysen wearing her Kaysen Cares Foundation hat.
Yeah.
Wow, it's very nice.
Thank you very much.
What's on my hat?
Dragon?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's electronic car racing from Europe. Okay, that's exciting. But
good times.
I've never seen you have nothing to say to something
good times.
I said.
I know, I like car racing, but electronic car racing.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Anyway, we got a big show for you today. We are really excited. We're going to have with us Betsy West and Julie Cohn. They have come out with a new documentary film that premiered at Sundance about Ruth Bader Ginsburg called RBG, the Notorious B.I.G., Notorious RBG. And it's really quite a film. It's very motivational for me. What about for you?
Honestly, I have to say she's a hero to so many women. To me, her intelligence is off the record, and her persistence and her fight. I was crying at the end of the film, and I'm not somebody who does that. No, and she's incredible. And it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. She does skew a little more, but she.
What do you mean it does matter? There are a lot of people who don't approve of her political perspective.
I know, but I'm just saying what she did, some of the cases that she took on, I'm not talking about her political affiliation. Some of the cases that she took on that changed America.
Right.
That put women in the forefront that said, hey, we're equal. If you can't look at that, it cannot be denied. And if you can't see that and say, this woman did something great for this country, get out of here. I don't want to hear your opinion. You have to look at some of it. I can understand if you don't like her because she's a liberal. I get that. But look at some of her accomplishments and give her that.
Well, I'll tell you, after I watched the film, I just wanted to work all night. I fell in love with law all over again.
Yeah.
Not because of her political perspective or her advocacy for women's rights, just because of her work ethic.
It's incredible.
I was like, I didn't talk to my kids for a week. And, I didn't talk to my wife. I was just going to work till 4 in the morning. But Julie Cohn and Betsy West did an incredible job with this film. And again, I'm so proud we have another Brown grad on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you know what else is cool?
What?
You know what else is really cool? Do you know what debuted this week? I have to give a shout out.
Wait, well, you didn't even ask. You can't just go Betsy West.
Betsy West is your Brown. You've had a lot of Brown
alumni
here.
They're all Larry
Elder.
You've
had a lot of Brown alumni on this show.
On the show. And I don't know why. We don't even know. They just come on. Ken Starr, we talked about the old days with
at
Brown. What do you want to tell me?
I'm just so proud of, who I consider family, the Cove family, Martin Cove from the Karate Kid series 34 years ago, huge hit. This has never been done before. 34 years later, same cast comes back on YouTube Red, creates Cobra Kai. It's the biggest, web series basically ever. It's blown out every record. It's done what House of Cards did for Netflix. It just put them on the map. I think they're at 12 or 13 million views in 3 days.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's undeniable. So I just thought.
How does that compare to the impact that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had on this country and the world?
I'll tell you how. Each one of these people, the Karate Kid film had a massive impact on me when I was a kid. And it taught right from wrong. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, same thing. Just different ways. this, and since Marty has been on the show, I think we should call him and congratulate him. I do. Let's just quickly, and then we'll put everybody, and then we'll put the freaking awesomest documentary I've seen in a long time. We'll call him.
Dino, she wants Marty Cove on the line. And we have Julie West, Julie Cohn, Betsy West waiting. And
is he on?
He's on.
You got
now.
Him? Ah, that was fast.
How did you do that? Marty Cove, welcome back to Gurvey's Law.
Because Carrie Kasem's magic. She just says things and they happen.
Marty, congratulations. We had to congratulate you. This is, I mean, it's so huge.
Yeah, that's big.
It's a lot of fun. I think there's like almost 12 million viewers now of the show. It's unbelievable. In 3 days.
That must be beyond the wildest expectations you had.
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially, I had to keep a secret for 7 months that I was even part of the show. You know, I kept telling people I had to, you know, where have we been in the last 30 years? And I said, no, I'm dead or I'm in prison. Or I'm working for the KGB. God knows what happened to John Kreese in 30 years. So I couldn't tell anybody I was in the show because the writers insisted on keeping it as a big hook for season two and season three, which I'm a regular in. So it turned out really well. I mean,
how were they able to get the whole cast back?
Well, they just, you know, back, I think they promoted it to a variety of different networks. They always had what they wanted and ultimately pitched it to Ralph and Billy, I think, around April. And in September, they made the deals with YouTube. YouTube outbid Netflix and Amazon and wanted to make this, I think, their house of cards, put them right up there, which is exactly what it's done. And it set every record imaginable. But the most important thing is that we're all so surprised that the writing and the editing and the music, everything is spot on. I mean, you know, these characters wrote the arcs for so many terrific, you know, people. Our writers, you know, the writers and showrunners, you know, Josh Heald and John Hurwitz and Hayden Schlossberg, they created all these characters that have such rich arcs that we haven't seen in the movies. You know, Billy and Ralph and myself, you know, we're, you know, veterans from the original picture written by Robert Kamen, who is brilliant. But these three writers have just lived this project as if it was Star Wars to them and just created fantastic people and situations and music and editing. And now I show up, it's beyond anybody's imagination.
It's crazy. I'm looking at his Twitter. I'm reading his Twitter. There were people that said, I mean, do you know Patton Oswalt? I don't know. All these celebrities that are going crazy. But there's one said that you came on the screen, and I guess he was watching it with a whole group
Who,
of guys.
Me?
No, this is the tweet. This was
a tweet.
The whole group of guys watching. And they watch the whole thing. They binge watch it. It's 5 hours, 10 episodes. Binge watch the whole thing. At the end, Marty comes on. Said there was, you couldn't hear what anybody was saying. They were screaming at the TV. They were screaming because if you watch the whole thing and then you see, because they said that he's dead. Alan, they literally say John Kreese is dead. So you never think he's coming back. So it's amazing. It's a kind of a spoiler, and I know, but it's out everywhere now. So it's, you know, 12 million people have watched it. We had to wait to say anything. But anyway,
well, maybe
Marty,
we can get them in the studio.
Let's get them in here. You guys got to come down here. Let's talk about the film. Let's talk about the show. That would be so awesome. You got to come back. You haven't been back for a couple of years.
Yeah, we should do that. Sure. You know, we'll try and set that up because, you know, all the fans want season two, and we haven't been picked up yet, but I would imagine we would be. But the fans are just, you know, just breathing down the neck with these tweets and with everything, that because the show is for everyone. You know, the show is...
Marty, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube Red.
YouTube Red.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Okay, well, we got to get everyone to check it out, and then we're going to get you here. You bring some of the cast. We'll do a whole show so we can really get into it and get into some of the new themes. Marty, we want to congratulate you. It's amazing that what you're doing, keep it up.
Yeah, the success is enormous. And
Thank you. And just remember, any of you who haven't subscribed to YouTube, it's like $12.99. And you're going to get all this entertainment. It's just these 10 episodes are fantastic. And I'm not, you know, pushing money. What I'm pushing is entertainment. And I just want to share.
And you can get it for free, Marty, for a month, I think. I think you can actually get YouTube Red free for a month, so you don't even have to. I mean, it's nice if you do, but you don't have to. And then you go and you watch it, you get hooked, and then you're like, oh, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
But there's so much. We watched it twice, and I watched it on the big screen at Universal, the first two episodes. I watched them. I have a very big screen here, and I watched it on the screen with, you know, my kids and everything. And they've watched it two or three times because there's such the arcs. So well constructed dramatically for each of these
All right.
new characters.
We're gonna
we
watch
to
it.
Go.
We gotta
we have
go. I got
guests
Betsy
waiting
and
here.
Thanks for calling. Thanks.
Love you, Marty. I'll talk
care.
To you soon.
I want to
remember. Just remember, no mercy.
No mercy. Sweep the leg.
Yes.
All right. I want to get Betsy and Julie on before we take a break. We got to take a break in a minute, but I know they've been waiting here, and we have them for the rest of the hour because there's some really important stuff. We want to talk about RBG. Betsy and Julie, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey there.
Hey.
There you are. Oh, we did. Did we lose Betsy? Julie, you're there.
I'm here.
Where's Betsy?
I don't know. We're in different locations.
I think Marty might have taken her out.
She might have been frightened away.
Cobra Kai. All right. We're going to get Betsy back. Julie, hold tight for a second. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We're going to talk about RBG. And by the way, congratulations on the film.
Thank you so much.
Incredible.
It's incredible.
We've got a lot to talk about. You're listening to Gervie's
Law. I'm prepared to make a connection to Karate Kid. I got a tie all worked up.
All right. We're going to hear that after the break.
Awesome.
You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Are you aware of what hard water really costs you? Heating elements can lose 25% of efficiencies, wasting hundreds of dollars in electricity and water. Repairs to valves, pipes, and early replacement of fixtures and appliances are very costly. Don't let hard water wash away your money. The HydroCare Smart Descaler from Wave Home Solutions easily clamps onto a pipe and will eliminate and prevent limescale in all pipes, appliances, and fixtures permanently. For more information, visit fixhardwaternow.com. That's fixhardwaternow.com.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you get instant gold status and save 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day. And if you join between now and May 27th, you can save an additional 25 cents per gallon on your second fill. But you'll feel like you're reaching up and high-fiving a million angels. To join, download the Fuel Rewards app and start saving today. Offer subject to gold status. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full terms and conditions. Restrictions apply. For 25 cents per gallon bonus, 5-gallon minimum purchase required on first fill.
Ryan! I don't know how else to say this, so I'll just say it!
What is it, Linda?
I think we should see other people!
Are you breaking up with me? On a roller coaster?
Well, we do have a lot of fun! Maybe we should stay together!
An emotional roller coaster? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
I just need a little me time.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Come on.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. That's good call, Art.
Notorious. Yeah. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. We're listening to Notorious B.I.G.
And there's a reason.
So, RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the movie about the Supreme Court justice icon, opened last night, and it was screened at Sundance. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg actually appeared. She's known not to get out too much. And, of course, with her job, the gig doesn't allow her to do as much promotion as probably Betsy West and Julie Cohn would like. But it was nice that she got to Sundance. I want to welcome Betsy. We dropped you for a minute because Cobra Kai was was taken over.
Marty Cove.
Marty Cove.
I don't take it personally. That's okay.
That's good. And Julie Cohn said she actually had a story about the Karate Kid. I want to hear it, Julie.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what story. I was going to come up with a way to connect Ruth Bader Ginsburg to the Karate Kid. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
All right. So, you know, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a young lawyer in the 1970s, in a situation in this country where women essentially were treated as second-class citizens, didn't have the same rights that men did, couldn't get a mortgage without their husband signing off sometimes. Husbands were basically never prosecuted for rape if they were for raping their wives. You know, getting credit was difficult. You could be fired for being pregnant, all kinds of things. You know, you could be outraged by this situation. Ruth Bader Ginsburg set a course to change the law in the country and to provide that women would be treated equally under the Constitution. But her attitude wasn't anger. It wasn't everything at a time. It was essentially patience, Grasshopper. She was, you know, she took the very calm, very deliberate, one step at a time approach that actually is in a lot of ways the main lesson of the Karate Kid. So, you know, she applied it to the law. She brought a series of cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, six of them. She won five and made major strides towards making sure that women would be covered under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
You know, it's interesting because you say women covered, which is really important. It's part of the theme of the film. But she was so bright that back then, in 1975, in Weinberg versus Weisenfield, she represented a man in gender discrimination. So,
yeah, this is.
Go ahead.
Part of her strategy, you know, she was really strategic, and she thought about, hey, how am I going to convince nine male justices that discrimination is wrong? What better way to do it than to find a man who had been discriminated against? Basically, Stephen Weisenfeld was a widow. His wife had died in childbirth, and he wanted to raise his infant child. He went to Social Security to get the benefits he thought that he deserved. He was told, no, those are mother's benefits. Mm-hmm. And so Ruth Bader Ginsburg heard about this, and she thought, aha, a man's being discriminated against. Let's take him as a client. She's very, very smart, very tricky.
I mean, she did so much for so many, but especially for the women in the United States of America. She just, and I was telling this to Alan, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're Republican or Democrat, look at what she has done for so many and especially women. And you should look at that. And I was blown away by the film. I didn't know everything about her. Of course, I knew who she was. I didn't know all of her accomplishments. And by the end of the film, I was really like, I'm like, I just found a new hero. I found somebody I can look up to. And not because she's a liberal. That's not why. And not because of anybody's political affiliation, but because of what a fighter she was and how she stood up where most people would have backed down or cowed. And she's incredible.
Did you find in doing this film that there were people that maybe didn't want you to make it? Now, I know, you know, Betsy and Julie, just for people who don't know, you both have an extensive background in journalism, both going to the Columbia Journalism School, and you, Betsy, 21 Emmy Awards on Nightline and Primetime Live and Turning Point, and Julie, you know, being involved with Dateline NBC, making documentaries before. When you have a subject matter that is controversial with some people, are there people that are trying to prevent you from making this film?
I've got to say essentially no. I mean, there are people, of course, as you know, that aren't big fans of Justice Ginsburg, that don't like the stinging dissents that she's been writing in recent years in response to some of the rulings by the court's conservative majority. But no, I wouldn't say that we found anyone trying to prevent us from making the film. I mean, you know, people on all sides of the, on all sides of the political spectrum are pretty interested in Justice Ginsburg. Now, I grant you that, our audiences may come more from the liberal democratic side, but, certainly all are welcome and all, as Carrie is suggesting, would find things to be to relate to.
Yes.
And while some of the justices' current rulings and current dissents aren't universally beloved, you can't find a whole lot of people that object to what she did in the 1970s. You know, hindsight is 20/20. At the time that she took the position that men and women should be treated equally under the Constitution, it was a radical position. It isn't anymore. You know, history kind of proved her right on that one.
You know, interesting, because a lot of corporations are actually scheduling screenings of RBG, Bank of America, Lyft, Salesforce, a lot of law firms, O'Melveny & Myers, and some of the other large firms. So when you say that, you know, it may not, some of her dissents or her decisions may not have been in the interests of these people, there is a lot of appreciation when we talk about the Lilly Ledbetter case versus Goodyear, for instance, equal pay for women and men, that obviously historically cost some corporations some money. But it seems that we've gotten a lot farther than Lilly Ledbetter, even though that was in 2006.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that has surprised us and made us feel good about the reaction to this film is, you know, it's not just women's groups or feminists who like this film. There are an awful lot of people, as you say, corporations and a lot of law firms who want to see this story because, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg stands for something beyond her liberal views. She stands for, you know, working through the legal system in our democracy to resolve disputes and to make the world, in her view, a better place. And as Julie said, it's not so long ago when women really were really treated as second-class citizens. She saw that. She fixed that. She changed that. And nobody really is disputing it. We talked to a bunch of conservatives who disagreed with her more currently, but nobody criticizes the work she did back then, and people really admire it, and I think it's great that finally to be able to recognize it.
You know, I have to say, too, you know, when people think RBG, when they're thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be dry, it's going to be, you know, kind of boring, she's an older woman, I there's nothing further from the truth. I laughed out loud so many times the way you edited it, the way the music, but her life and even just the sweet moments with her husband or her watching for the first time SNL and the you know, the impersonations that they've done of her and her just laughing, her working out in the gym at 83 years old with a trainer. There's so many, there's just the personal stories, the funny moments, they're there, and it's not dry, and it moves, and it's quick, it's emotional, it's funny. I mean, it really is everything you want in a film, and I don't want people to think, oh, you know, Supreme Court justice, boring, dry. So the opposite of
well,
it.
Well, you know what's interesting about
that? We just want you to keep talking, Karen.
I need
everything you want in a film. Is that what you said? We have that down for our next
Yeah, Carrie Kasem.
It's true. I love it.
Wait, Betsy and Julie, it can't just be this big party here. I need to inject something because it's interesting what Carrie said. However, when you watch the film, you look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg and you don't see this outgoing personality. You don't see this charismatic person. You don't see this dynamic you know, talker.
What movie did you watch?
Here's what I'm saying. The intellectualism is obviously there, but when you see her husband, Marty, you see the smiles, you see the warmth, and he obviously accomplished a lot in his life in his own right. You wonder whether someone to accomplish what Ruth Bader Ginsburg did had to be a little bit of an introvert, a little bit reserved, and not this big, huge personality. Is that what you found with her?
You know, I think you're onto something, Alan. I mean, when she was doing the work she was doing in the 1970s, arguing these important cases before the Supreme Court, it was at a time when there weren't that many female lawyers, and she really had to prove herself in a way. And I think that she is a reserved person, and she just kept her eyes straight ahead.
Right.
And, you know, it probably was necessary at that time. Her whole approach was not, you know, to the women's movement, was not marching in the streets. It was working in the courts,
you know,
and using her legal smarts to get where she wanted to go.
And it's interesting because we have to take a quick break, but, you know, we have Gloria Allred on our show all the time, and she's one of the regulars. She's a friend of the show, and we talk about women's issues. But she's out in the media a lot. I don't think she would deny it that, you know, half of her practice is in the media. And this is something that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was not. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is not Gloria Allred. And you look at it, and the results that she got by keeping her nose to the grindstone, working, you know, all hours of the night, are incredible. And I want to pick up on that after the break. We have to take a quick break. We're talking to Betsy West and Julie Cohn. The movie's called RBG, and we're going to talk about how you can watch it, because it is really something you want to watch. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. President Trump was aware of his personal attorney Michael Cohen's hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels when he denied knowing anything about it last month. The New York Times reported the story yesterday, citing two people familiar with the arrangement. Lava is not the only threat on Hawaii's Big Island. There's also a concern about potentially life-threatening gas. The recent activity in the area of Leilani Estates has resulted in high concentration of sulfur dioxide, which smells similar to rotten gas. The White House is publicly admonishing China for warning foreign airlines to change how they identify Taiwan and other areas on their websites. More than 30 airlines, including some U.S. carriers, were recently told by the Civil Aviation Administration of China to remove any information suggesting Taiwan, Hong Kong, or Macau are not part of China. KABC SoCal weather, sunny with highs from the upper 60s to mid-70s at the beaches to the 80s to lower 90s inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss. Because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text FUN to 85850. Check them out now. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Dude, this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert, ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part, Bosley's solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting FUN to 85850. Don't forget, that's FUN to 85850.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I'm no too much to go back.
There we go. It sounds like Betsy West and Julie Cohn are Helen Reddy fans.
Oh, come on.
We're dating ourselves, aren't we?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'll say.
That's hilarious.
We're talking to Betsy West and Julie Cohn, the directors and producers of the film RBG about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Opened last night in 34 theaters, 10 markets across the country, including the big markets, Washington, New York, and L.A. It is really an incredible expose of what, before she became a media star, people considered a rather private person. You know, when we talk about gaining access to someone like that, Betsy, tell us how you were able to do it. Because I know, you know, you had done some work with RBG before you decided to do this documentary with Julie.
Yeah, I had interviewed Justice Ginsburg in 2011 for the Makers Project, which was about the history of the modern women's movement, for which I'd interviewed a number of groundbreaking women, and that's really when I learned her full story. Julie interviewed her a couple of years later for her groundbreaking documentary, The Sturgeon Queens. Julie, you can explain.
Yeah, that's the one about Russ and Daughters, Julie.
Exactly.
Yes.
And she went to go to that store.
Yeah, it's a smoked fish store on the Lower East Side, and Justice Ginsburg is and has been for decades a huge fan.
And you interviewed her for that.
She likes smoked fish.
She likes, yeah.
Yes.
Well, she has a lot of interesting, connections to the old Jewish type food and customs and traditions, yet, after her mother died, she kind of moved away from hardcore religious Judaism. Isn't that right?
Well, like a lot of Brooklyn Jewish people of her generation, you know, from an immigrant family, the whole focus of the family in her early years was kind of to move up and to move beyond and get educated and assimilate. And in her family and my family and a lot of other families I know, there were, you know, decade periods of being a little bit less focused on Judaism, and then, you know, and then a return to it once careers and life was more established.
But that's the polite answer. The real answer is when they were having the minyan after the death, she wasn't permitted to be part of the minyan. They were just men when she was 18 years old.
Right, for her mother's, for her mother's death.
She was taken back by the sexism that existed in Judaism and, you know, almost all organized religions. I'm not, you know, I think it's hard to say what role that would have played, in terms of, feelings about religion, but like in, you know, in all parts of society, men were getting the better deals.
Well, I don't know. Being in a minion, I'm not sure that's the better deal, but
the idea there is that women don't count.
That's right. And that's really the important thing. And I think that's the underlying theme. And, you know, you both did films previous to this one, Betsy Makers and Julie Sturgeon Queens. And they were far from the heavy duty, important substance of RBG.
I think that, you know, Makers was a very substantial and serious look at the modern women's movement. And you know, Justice Ginsburg saw the very short piece that I did about her, which, you know, discussed some of the things we've been talking about, her groundbreaking work. So she was familiar with that. But I'll say, you know, Julie and I wrote a very carefully crafted letter in early 2015 to try to convince her to do a documentary with us. Because, you know, we knew how interested people were becoming in her. She'd already
become the notorious RBG. So we write this letter, and we get a response which basically said, not yet. So then we had to regroup from that a little bit and, you know, go back at her again and make another proposal, in which we listed some of the people that we would be interviewing, former clients and colleagues. And we got a response, and she said, well, you know, I really wouldn't be able to talk to you for at least 2 years. But if you are going to be interviewing others, you might want to consider. And she listed three people. So that was when we knew, okay, she's interested, and we decided to go forward.
Were they the childhood friends? Did she mention that? Because they, in this
no.
film, those two
no.
should have their own show.
Absolutely. They need their own series. You're the LA people. You tell the Hollywood people. We've got fantastic yeah. character actresses lined up for them.
So who were the people? Yeah, no. Who were the people yeah, that she suggested that, you know, and it's funny because I know what you're saying. When she kind of says, I'm not going to do it yet, but here are three people that maybe you're starting to think, hey, yeah. you got her.
Who?
Yep. yeah.
Yes. The three that she suggested were Harry Edwards, who was one of her colleagues as an appeals court judge in Washington, D.C., a fantastic man, a wonderful lawyer and a close friend of hers, as well as two of her colleagues when she worked for the ACLU Women's Rights Project in the 70s. We had named some of her other colleagues, but she came from that period, but she came up with people that she thought needed to be part of the story. And it was a great call on her part because, in fact, they all ended up in the film.
Yep.
Along with Nina Totenberg, of course, and Arthur Miller, who are two very well-known people who have a lot of knowledge, not only of RBG, but about the issues that were important in this film.
Yeah, Nina Totenberg has known Justice Ginsburg for over 40 years, and she provided tremendous insight, both, you know, legal insight and personal insight into what makes her tick. And Arthur Miller, who I knew from, you know, all his television appearances, and he's just so smart and insightful. We really didn't know what a close friend he was of Ruth and Marty Ginsburg. And his talking about their marriage really led us, was the first indication of how important that story, that kind of, that romance was going to become to the film.
Tell us about
this
that.
This is really a love story. I mean, you know, yes, this is some serious substantive law stuff that we get into, and we're proud to do it, and we like the constitutional law sections of the film a lot and the women's rights story. But at the heart of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's story is a love story. She and Marty met as undergraduates at Cornell in the 1950s. She was, as you're going to see from the whole movies that are in our film, an exceptionally gorgeous young lady. She could have had her pick of the male undergrads at Cornell, of which there were many, 4-to-1 male to female.
Yeah.
But she said that Marty was the first guy who cared that she had a brain.
Mm-hmm.
And she could feel, you know, his admiration and respect from their early dates, and they just fell madly in love, and they stayed madly in love through 56 years of marriage. And as anyone who's been married a long time knows, that's a, you know, that ain't nothing. I mean, they just had this unbelievable relationship.
And a testament to that is really when Ruth Bader Ginsburg transferred from Harvard Law to Columbia just to be, and it's not that far away, you know, from Cambridge to New York, very close, but transferred just to be around Marty when he was in New York. I mean, you don't see that anymore. And she said in the film, she says how he dedicated himself to her aspirations. She reciprocated in kind.
Yeah, I mean, she talked about how there was a balance. And early on in their marriage, she did support Marty when he was working for a law firm in New York and trying to make partner, and she was doing more of the work at home. Although, you know, she was also working or trying to work as a lawyer because, of course, she graduated at the top of her class at Columbia, where she had transferred. And, you know, in the early 1960s, couldn't get a job because the big law firms weren't hiring women. They were just very upfront about saying it. Sorry, don't hire women. So she became a professor. But
and Marty was moving up the ladder, the legal ladder, but in the 1970s when she started this women's rights project, when she affiliated with the ACLU and she was also teaching at Columbia, her work became very important. She started arguing these cases before the Supreme Court, and Marty began to take more over more of the responsibilities at home. Plus, he was a fabulous cook, and he and the kids, their two children, just said, you know, no more, Mom, out of the kitchen, and he took over all the cooking.
I saw that. And he's like, you are not allowed in this kitchen anymore.
You are not allowed. And this is a constant family joke. You know, they go over and over about the bad swordfish and pork chops and the frozen vegetables. I mean, they love to joke about it. Now, but he also supported her professionally as well when she became a judge, and then ultimately an opening came up on the Supreme Court, and it was Marty Ginsburg who really initiated a lobbying campaign for her.
Did she, and I know, so Harvard and Cambridge, where did she make law review? And I think she did, right? Was she only woman?
Initially at Harvard.
Yes, okay. At Harvard.
Did she switch over to Cambridge? Did she do it at Cambridge as well?
No, Harvard, Cambridge is
Harvard, Cambridge. Okay, wait, I'm
Harvard
sorry.
Where? Columbia.
Columbia, that's Columbia. What I
meant. Yes. Did she switch
Columbia,
over?
She tied at Columbia. She tied for first in her class, so yeah, she was, you know, she was no slouch.
Unbelievable.
Wherever she went.
I can't remember all of it.
That she had a toddler already at this point.
Right.
Like Jane was already born. She was a baby when Ruth Bader Ginsburg entered law school, and a toddler through. So that's a lot to deal with.
It's amazing when you think about it. We have to take a quick break. We want to talk about how she became this media star and this kind of internet sensation in the last several years. Also want to talk about the music, your selection in the documentary. I think it's great. Did you get Jennifer Hudson to actually do an original song for it?
Yes, Diane Warren
did.
Wrote that beautiful
Diane Warren.
It's amazing.
Jennifer Hudson sang it. So a brand new, just out, and absolutely beautiful. It's called I'll Fight.
It's amazing. All right, we're going to talk more to Betsy West, Brown grad, of course. I got to put that in. Chris Berman used to do on ESPN whenever a football player went to Brown when there weren't many, Steve Jordan. He would say Brown, Betsy West, and Julie Cohn, the directors and producers of RBG. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
To promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures, and a third, my signs. Now my roses aren't red, my violets aren't blue, my geraniums look dead, and I don't know what to do.
Staples can help your business stand out with custom signs, banners, and brochures that are a true reflection of your company. And now through June 2nd, spend $25 or more in-store for a chance to win $1,000 worth of print marketing services. Visit staples.com/SMBweek for details and official rules. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
pretty sure you're never gonna catch a break. And the tears are rivers running down your face. Yeah. When your faith is low and you've got no strength left. When you think you've gone as far as you can get. And you're too worn down to take another step. Oh, I will take up the struggle. Oh, yeah. I know.
I just want to hear it.
So I'll fight the war for you.
This is like making me emotional.
The whole thing.
Oh, it's so good.
So
it's
Cara,
so I'm like literally crying again.
Cara, you're telling everyone they got to see RBG. Julie and Betsy are going to be giving you all the royalties here.
Yeah, we already have a little arrangement going.
Yeah, it sounds
like I got paid a little bit.
It really is good, though. I mean, there's so many elements to the film that are really touching in a lot of ways. And one of them, when you see Clara, the granddaughter of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and especially when she talks to her, and there's that human feeling when RBG fell asleep, of course, famously. And you know, I listen to a lot of the speeches, I fall asleep too. And then she says, she goes, "Booby, what happened? Why were you sleeping?"
But you can't do that. You can't fall asleep at the State of the Union.
She's hilarious. And then when they did it on SNL, they're like, it was the weight of her glasses.
Yeah. Right. But you know, it's good to remember. It keeps Ruth Bader Ginsburg in perspective. Yes, to most of us, she's kind of this small but larger than life public figure, a Supreme Court justice, but to her granddaughters and Clara, who's in our film, she's just Bubby. And when you see the two of them together at home, you know, making coffee together and looking through graduation pictures and old letters, like you can feel like this is a grandmother and a granddaughter.
And a mother, too, when you talk about the kids, when you see them in the film. They're just, you know, and Jane, of course, goes to Harvard Law. She's in her own right, a professor, and, you know, there's so much accomplishment here, but they seem like they're just kind of nice people. Just, you didn't mind hanging out with them to do this film.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
You know, one of their favorite things is to go on vacation to opera festivals because they're all opera nuts. And extremely enthusiastic about it. And, you know, that was a lot of fun to see Justice Ginsburg just loses herself in an opera. She talks about how the sound of the human voice is like an electric current going through her. And, you know, when we watched her watching the documentary at Sundance for the first time, and when it came to the scene of her sitting there watching the opera, she pulled out a tissue and wiped her eye. I mean, she's quite passionate about music. And you know, it is fun to hang out with the family. They joke with each other. They seem very close. Of course, you know, she lost her beloved husband in 2010. But she goes on, you know, she works very hard and then she goes to the opera.
How do you go on from that? I honestly, like, I've broken up with people and it devastates me. Few years, and I'm devastated for a year. I don't know how you break up with somebody after 56 years. It's literally losing a part of yourself. How do you
get
recover?
Lost in your work?
You recover?
Yeah. I think the job. I mean, first of all, in a sense, maybe she hasn't recovered. There certainly is a lot of you know, emotion there that's going to last forever. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg has this really core, like inner, like we're back to the Karate Kid here now. She has this inner toughness that. Seems from, you know, since we did talk to her childhood friends, seems to have been present, you know, almost through her whole life, that just almost whatever she faces, she's going to power through it. And even, you know, personal difficulties, you know, seeing her husband through cancer, she sort of two different occasions, once when he was young, and then again when he died, she herself has been through bouts of cancer. Like, she's faced a lot in her life.
And she,
yet, like, there's something about her that's just like, I'm going to push forward no matter what.
She has great friendships, it seems. People like her, others just want to be around them. when you talk about Justice Scalia, that was, you know, special moments that you see between them, ideologically on the opposite ends of the spectrum. But obviously the human being means a lot to her.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, people would say to us, oh, she's not really friends. She wasn't really friends with Justice Scalia, was she? I mean, that was just kind of for show. It can't be true. But in fact, it is true. Sadly, he died right before we started filming this documentary. But we talked to his son, who teared up, really, talking about the depth of their relationship. I mean, they, first of all, they both love the opera. So they went to a lot of operas together. And they talked about it a lot. And he had a great sense of humor, and he made her laugh. She loved that. Although we have a scene in the film also where she gets the best of him, which is, I think, a wonderful moment. And, you know, they were intellectual equals who actually managed to talk to each other, even though they had these deep ideological or philosophical differences. They were able to engage. They were sparring partners, which I think in this day and age is a pretty good role model.
Well, that's what we need nowadays. We have no just the opposition against opposition. Nobody's listening to each other. Nobody's really like conceding here or there. It's, you know, and to actually have two people on the opposite side of the spectrum talking to each other and being able to find a commonality. We need that now more than ever. And it's a beautiful thing, I thought. I thought that their friendship was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, as we move forward, what do you get from Justice Ginsburg? She's still there. I think she won't ever allow Trump to to appoint a new nominate a new Supreme Court justice. She's going to stick around as long as her health allows her to. She's done some new things in the Sessions case, interestingly, which struck down the legislation allowing certain citizens to be expelled. As the most senior majority opinion provider, she assigned the decision to Justice Elena Kagan, something that she hadn't done before. There are things that are going on now that seem to be keeping her, you know, spirited and keeping her going.
Well, there's no question that she finds, you know, especially now with Marty gone, like the central purpose in her life is work. She loves law. She's accomplished so much with it, not only for herself, but, you know, really for society in general. And, you know, she just enjoys the intellectual challenge of it, like the extent to which she wants to still be thinking about cases, staying up late at night, you know, working on writing an opinion or a concurrence or a dissent. Those are what she's gotten most famous for in recent years.
Yeah, the dissents, yes.
Like, it's kind of hard to picture her when she's not working. It just seems like she's pretty, she's a work-focused woman and has been her whole career, and that doesn't seem to be changing.
And of course, the liberal folks in this country, as well as on the Supreme Court, need her for those dissents because she's shown that a lot of her opinions become reality, whether they start out as dissent. We go back to the beginning. We have to close quickly, but I do want to mention the VMI case because it's such a touching moment, which is the Military Institute and having women in the Military Institute. And that's such a success when you look back in history, knowing what this country's been through.
Yeah, it really was the capstone of all the work she'd done as a lawyer arguing for gender equality. Finally, as a justice, she really finally got the last word there, that you can't treat women differently just because they're women. And I think that was moving for her, and it is one of her great contributions.
Well, the entire film is moving, and I want everyone to have a chance to see it. Betsy and Julie, tell us as we close here what the easiest way for people who may not be in L.A. or New York or Washington to see RBG.
Absolutely. If you go on to rbgmovie.com, you can write in the city that you live in, and it'll tell you what theaters it's playing in. We're in 10 cities right now, but we're broadening out. We're going to be at 300 cities by the end of May, so go to rbgmovie.com.
Yeah.
300 theaters, so sorry, yes, 300 theaters by the end of May. RBGmovie.com is where to find how you can watch it at a theater near you.
And what about CNN? At some point, is CNN going to release it?
Yes, this fall it will be on. It will be on CNN in the fall. Yes.
Awesome. Well, that's something to look forward to. Last question before we let you go, Bill Clinton. Did you have an opportunity to spend any time with him because he does speak in the film?
Yes, we interviewed him about Justice Ginsburg. I think he's extremely proud that he nominated her to the court. He sees that as one of his legacies, and was very happy to talk about her and just how they had an intellectual meeting of the minds. You know, when he finally sat down to talk to her, he really was engaged by her and impressed.
Well, not only is President Clinton proud, we are proud of you, Betsy and Julie, for making this film. It's called RBG, and thank you so much for being on Gervie's Law today.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you next week right here on Gervie's Law.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.